Well, if you would, let's go ahead and get into the Word of God. Again, this morning is just a standalone message. And when I say that, it really does kind of continues to build from off of the series that we've had. And even a couple of weeks ago when I gave you the message, Fertile Soil. If you'll think with me a couple of weeks ago, and I know we slept since then, there's been a lot happened. We've had a lot of rain. We've had some flooding. We've had some storms. We've had a lot on our plates and on our minds. But if you can think back with me a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about fertile soil. And we were asking ourselves the question, is the soil of our heart receiving the word in a manner where it can take root and where it can begin to flourish? Are we receiving what God is speaking into our lives? Over these past several Sundays, these past several months, I believe God has been speaking to our church. He's been speaking to individuals of our church. He's been speaking to you about salvation and forgiveness. I thank God for over the half a dozen people in the last couple of weeks that have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior in our services. And I pray that that number continues to build as we give all glory to God. But I believe he's been speaking a word of restoration. He's speaking a word of healing, a word of encouragement and hope and peace and clarity and purpose and growth and wisdom and correction and transformation. I believe God has been speaking into that lives. The question is are we receiving? Are we receiving that word? But I hope and I choose to believe that we are. So church, if so, if we are receiving that word, there is no doubt that our lives are being transformed by the Holy Spirit at work within us and that daily we are being renewed. If we are receiving God's word, I believe that is happening. Well, this morning I will ask the question, well, how do we know that for sure? Pastor, how do I know that I'm really receiving that word? How do I know that I'm really setting my life up in a way that I'm going to flourish in the things of Christ? Well, a good way to measure if what is being sown into your life is taking hold is to look at what your life is now sowing and what it is now reaping. Let me say that again. What's a good way to know if you're receiving God's word? Well, if what is being sown into you, if what God is sowing into you, if you're starting to now sow that yourself and reap those things, that's a good way to measure if you're receiving what God is doing. I want to take you for a few moments to the book of Galatians. Of course, we know this is the Apostle Paul's writings, writing to the church, the believers in Galatia. Now, Galatia was not just a single city or a single church, but it is a region of what you and I know today as modern Turkey. So this letter was written for all the churches in the area, which you and I would call modern Turkey. Now, this letter of Paul has a little bit different of a feel right out the gate than the other letters that are written by him. Now, as you've heard me say many times before, Paul writes with strong conviction in all of his letters. And he writes with strong compassion in all of his letters. They're pastoral letters to the church. They're letters of encouragement. They're letters of correction. They're letters of trying to stir them up to get them on the right track. This one has a little bit different feel right out the gate because you can kind of sense that tone of frustration. While affirming his love for them, he really gets right to the point without holding his words back. Of course, he does that brief cordial greeting that he does in all of his letters, but then he gets right into it. Let me give you an example of that. As you can see in Galatians chapter 1, verse number 2, it says, or let me start with verse number 3. To the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of the God of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So verses 1 through 5, you go back and pick up those first couple of verses where he's just introducing himself. Those five verses, that's his cordial greeting. Then you get into verse number 6. I am astonished. So that's like me coming up to Dr. Mark. Hey, Dr. Mark, man, so good to see you. So I appreciate you and all the great work you do. I am astonished the way that you've been acting these last few weeks. I mean, that comes off a little bit abrupt, right? Kind of gets to the point. Well, that's kind of what Paul is doing here. He says, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and they want to distort the gospel of Christ. Well, then for the next several verses and couple of chapters, he gets into basically some theology about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's talking to them how we are saved by our faith and we're saved by grace and we're not saved by works and we're not saved by a law. And there's been those who have come in and tried to distort this. There's been those Judaizers who've come in and tried to take everything away that Paul has spoken into their lives. So for the next couple of chapters, we see him talking about that. Chapter number 4, you can still sense his emotions. In chapter 4, verse 20 in the ESV, it says, "I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone, for I am perplexed about you." Well, the message has a little more liberty there, and it says it like this. "Oh, I keep wishing that I was with you, that I wouldn't be reduced to this blunt letter-writing language out of sheer frustration." All right, yeah. So it kind of helps us put it in perspective a little bit. So what is happening here? When word got to him that the believers were turning away from the gospel of Christ, one in which they really believed in, and when they believed in it, they gladly received it. How could they be turning away from this? So Paul is perplexedly astounded here. In other words, he's saying, what's going on? What's happened? What's happening to this transformed life in Christ? What happened to being saved by grace, by the grace of God? You placing your faith in him, and that's how you come to know Jesus Christ. What did happen? That's a great question. Well, we know in studying and looking in history, we see that soon after his departure from Paul's ministry in the region, a group of Judaizers came and they presented to the people that everything Paul had spoke of about Christ, saved by faith, saved by grace, that it was wrong. So they spoke against God's grace demonstrated in and through Christ. They were saying, their take was, if you were truly going to have a right relationship with God, you must follow the letter of the law in every single one of them. Now, when we look at this, there are over 600 laws given in the Old Testament. And then they would continue, the religious leaders, they would build these on and make their laws to this. Brother Stone, you mentioned some of the goofy ones that they, I shouldn't say it like that, but they were kind of silly, you know, some of the laws that they brought out that the people had to follow. So they're coming back in, and they're wanting to distort this and say, this is what you have to do. And of course, we know in Scripture, many of them, oh, they looked like they had it going on the outside, but it was all wrong on the inside. So they were distorting what God was really wanting to do, because God doesn't save you from the outside first. He saves you from the inside first. That's his grace, right? That's your faith to believe what he is doing inside of your life. So Paul, he was teaching them that salvation comes through that personal experience, that you can only be made right with God when you believe and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and then that work begins. Now, never, ever does he put down God's laws, because we know, you've heard me say multiple times over, God's law, his commandments, what we find in the Holy Scripture, they are not bad because they show us a standard of holiness. They show us his character. They show us who he is, but they also are there to point out to the fact that none of us can follow them, and we need the mercy of Jesus Christ in our lives. They point to Jesus. They point the need of a Savior. And that's what the Apostle Paul spoke into them. He never stated to the church that we must not have any sense of morals or Christian values. Matter of fact, he gives significant teaching in several of his letters on what a Christian life looks like if one truly believes and has accepted Christ in their life. Now again, for this specific letter, in the first part, he's given that correction to those who are abandoning God's grace found in Christ, wanting to go back to living by a merit or legalism. He's correcting that, speaking to them the theology and the gospel of Christ. In the latter portion, he continues with that truth while giving very practical insight to what living a life saved by faith and grace in Christ really looks like. So bottom line, this letter here is that Paul is pulling back the believers. They were drifting from the truth of Christ, and Paul is reeling them back in. So when you finally get over to chapter 5, you see he reminds them of their freedom. Chapter 5, verse 1, he says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm before then, and do not submit again to some yoke of slavery." Saying you are free in Christ. You get down to verse number 16 in that same chapter, he instructs them to walk according to the Holy Spirit. How do you live your daily lives? Be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is doing and walk in the Spirit. He says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh." If you're walking by the Holy Spirit. Then he speaks to them on how to restore the one who has drifted away while giving a warning of not to do the same as he shifts in and we get into chapter 6 the way that we see it. Verse number 1, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore them back with gentleness, a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch of yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What does that mean? Mercy, grace, love, gentleness, kindness, patience. Pour that into one another. Help each other. Bear one another's burdens. That's what Christ does for us, right? Now, as he gets close to his letter, as he gets ready to close his letter, and thinking about all this, he brings the church here to a powerful yet simple truth. And if we follow it, it's going to be highly effective in seeing change for the better, not just in individuals' lives, but also, I believe, in the atmosphere that surrounds us. So go with me, Galatians chapter 6. This is where we'll pick it up. And this is where he's talking about sowing and reaping. Chapter 6, verse number 6. He says, "One who has taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches." Church, do not be deceived. Believers in the region of Galatia, do not be deceived. Coweta Assembly of God, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he also will reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we will not give up. So then, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of our faith. Powerful word. Now, when you read this letter in its entirety, you really see how Paul puts all the pieces together in this small passage. He's been speaking to the believers. He's been speaking to them about grace, God's grace, faith, our daily walk, and our good works. And he's really answering a question for the believers. Is there a significant connection between all of that? And the answer to that is, the short answer is absolutely. When we make the answer a little bit longer, absolutely, because first comes God's grace, then comes our faith in Christ Jesus, then we follow that up with an obedient daily walk in Christ, and as we do that, you cannot help but follow that those good works are going to come. So all of it's wrapped up together in one. Church, you know that our daily walk and our ability to do good things, they are the evidence of God's grace and our faith in Christ coming together on the same page. Now remember, in saying all of that, remember again the tone and look back to verse 7. We emphasized it. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. God will not be ridiculed. God will not be made fool of. So for them specifically, they had a group trying to come in and distort the gospel and the way they receive it and put something else out there before them. Do not be deceived. Do not be mocked. Don't try to change and find a better way. There is no better way. There is no better principle. There is no better way than doing life than doing it the way that God would have you do it. And his word is true, and his son is true, and the Bible is true, and the power of the Holy Spirit is true, and that which he's doing inside of your life, listen, do not be mocked. If you will follow, God will not be mocked. If you will follow his principle, you will see it come alive in your own lives. So I come back to the question, how do we know we are receiving the truth that God is speaking to our lives? Because I'd like to say that all of us say, yeah, I'm receiving what God is saying to me. But how do we really know that? And this is just your pastor sharing his heart, okay? I'm just sharing my heart as I see it, as the Holy Spirit's laid upon my life. Well, for me, I would answer it like this. We have to look at the principle of sowing and reaping in our own lives. If I'm really receiving the truth that God is speaking, let's see what the results of that are. Scripture, sowing to self, sowing to the flesh, says we're going to reap the results of living by our sinful nature. If we sow to the Holy Spirit, we're going to reap a bountiful harvest of spiritual life. So we stay real basic with this and we go and we say, okay, let's look at sowing to self, sowing to the flesh. It's corruption, Scripture says. Scripture also says it's spiritual death with no hope of eternal life in heaven. How do we get that? We just jump back to chapter 5. Paul has already been there. Chapter 5, verse 19. You know this passage very well if you're a student of God's word. Galatians 5, 19 says, "Now the works of the flesh, they are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. So not an exhaustive list. These things and things like these. And I warn you as I warned you before. He's saying, church, I'm warning you as I told you before. I kind of read into that a little bit. As I told you before you come to know Christ. As I told you when you were living a life outside of Christ. When you were living without being led and driven by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you this once again. That those who choose to live such a life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Because those things are not a part of Christ. Those seeds don't come from Christ. So he speaks very clearly. Well, we see that in Scripture, but also we look at the other side, sowing to the Holy Spirit. That's an abundance of spiritual life and the benefits thereof. That's hope of eternal life. In that same chapter, the next few verses, verse 22, Paul writes, you know it well, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? It's love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things, there is no law. And those who belong to Christ, they have crucified the flesh. What's the flesh? The previous verses, 19, 20, 21. They've taken those things because those were definitely there. Those things were definitely real inside your life. They've taken those things and crucified them, all of its passions and all of its desires. Amen. Amen. It's gone. And then in the passage we just read in chapter 6, verse 8, he said, but the one who sows to the Spirit, what are they going to reap from that? Not only the blessings of God that you read of in verses 22 of 24 in Galatians 5, the fruits of the Spirit, but also eternal life. And that's the ultimate goal, right? Ultimate goal. Now, in the passage today, staying with the text, in our passage today, Paul specifically speaks of sowing to the Spirit in an unselfish manner. So he's saying this and they're receiving this, but he also, he says some things very specifically. In verse number 6, he said, one who has taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. In other words, support the ministry. Every believer ought to support the ministry of the church. Every believer should support, and when I say ministry, I'm talking about all the ministries. I'm not talking about one individual who is the pastor of your church. I'm talking about you support the ministries of the church. You support your missions team. You support our benevolence closet and our food and our King's Kitchen and our youth and our student, our children and our adults and everything that we do to promote and make Jesus famous, to help people come to know Jesus. You support the ministry of the church. Here, you look at this sowing and reaping, and you can definitely see the financial responsibility here, and a lot of people just choose to stay there on that, but it's so much more than just finances. But that's definitely a part of it. Support the ministry. Your faithfulness to support enables the church to move forward. If you come to church and you're faithful to church, but yet you don't invest anything into it, I would have to step back as your pastor and say, what are you doing? What are you doing? Because it cannot flow without your investment as well. Then he says, as you're doing this, do good to everyone. First part of verse 10, when you have the opportunity, do good to everyone. What does that mean? Everyone, friends, neighbors, coworkers, community, anyone that you come in contact with, anybody that you have the ability to do good to them in the name of Jesus Christ. And then he gets really specific in the second part of that verse. He says, in this sowing and in this reaping, I want you to sow into your church family. Take care of one another. Aren't you glad that we've got each other? I'm so glad we've got each other to pray for each other, support each other, encourage each other. I mean, if there is anybody right now that needs some help because of the flooding and we don't know about it and you need some extra hands, man, give us a call. Things of that nature, whether it's putting on some work gloves and some work boots, give us a call. If it's coming and praying for you, give us a call. Just a word of encouragement. Whatever it is, we're here to support each other, right? That's what we do. I think about my brother Jim. Man, be praying for him this week. He had a tragedy yesterday. He's already lost one brother years ago. And his younger brother, I believe it's his younger brother. No, he just has two, and I think he's middle. His younger brother passed yesterday. We were on the phone, and I said, hey, Jim, I'm there for you. Whatever you need, I'm there for you. I'll pray with you. And so we prayed and we talked. I said, hey, you don't worry about this mission trip this week. God's much bigger than anything that you and I can come up with. No, brother, I'm going. I got to go. I was like, well, don't feel like you. I was almost like, pastor, you're trying to talk him out of it. I was like, he goes, my family will be okay. We'll get it all taken care of. Most of his family's up in Michigan, so they're going to be fine. But he loaded up his team, and he's headed down to Florida because he's going to be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ this week with having such a thought upon his heart and upon his mind. Let me tell you, I'm glad in moments like that we've got each other. Amen. because we're going to be supporting him and praying for him and our team down there. So grateful that we are able to sow into each other's lives. So he talks about that very specifically here. And he talks about, in all of that, you see the love of God, because we have to ask ourselves this question. Doesn't God sow into our lives in such a way? Doesn't he love us and care for us and bear our burdens? And doesn't he show patience and goodness and gentleness? Doesn't he just sow all of that, his goodness, the I am, the one we sing about? Doesn't he just sow into us every single day? Absolutely he does. Now, if what he is sowing into our lives, if what the great I am is sowing into you and I deep within our spirits, and if it's really taking hold, then shouldn't our lives be reciprocating all that he has sown into us as we apply that same principle in our daily walk and how we sow and what we reap? Well, again, the word is absolutely. As I kind of, I'm going to be bringing us back to a place of worship and prayer, but let me just give you these few things here. As we bring this home, think about the principle of sowing and reaping as it relates to the farmer, because that's how they're going to receive it, the believers. They're going to understand this. Well, we know this. It's very simple. One of my studies in Charles Stanley, who's a great writer and has a lot of great things, don't always see eye to eye on everything, but great writer. Not that I have to, but great resource. Talking about this, you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow is what Scripture said. And I looked at that and I'm thinking, you know what, does it get any simpler? God's word is not as baffling as what you and I make it out to be sometimes. Sometimes I'll speak with individuals and we'll try to make the word of God as hard and difficult as we possibly can. Well, it's got big terminology. It's got difficult names. And there's so much there. Pastor, I just don't know if I can really understand it. Come on, it's not that you don't understand it. It's the simple fact that you don't want to understand it. Because if you understand it, it's going to put the responsibility on you to live the way that God wants you to live. And sometimes we make things harder than a lot harder than what they should be. Because when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we can all receive the truth that he's pouring into us, right? So it's a matter of choice, and it's a matter of wanting to receive this. If you really want to change, if you really want to be transformed, if you really want God to do a work in your life, you'll be totally open to receiving what God has for you through his word. Now, yes, you get in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, there are some hard names to pronounce. That's why I go to my Bible app a lot, and I'm thinking, hey, I'm going to use the cheat sheet. How did this guy say it? And I'll try to do the same. You know, there's a lot of difficult names. There's a lot of difficult places. And you look at the stories in the Old Testament, how those families are intertwined, and you see all of the stuff that is there. It can kind of really grab a hold of you and say, wow, this is almost too much to take in. But can I tell you, if you'll just methodically study it out, just like we did the story of Joseph, it'll start to come alive. You'll see how it points to Jesus. And by the time you get to the New Testament, you're like, I got this. I'm receiving all that the gospel has given to me. You can receive it. So you sow, you reap what you sow. So here again, the old farm boy who worked with a lot of watermelons. You sow a watermelon seed, and what are you going to get? That's right. And if you don't, it's a miracle. All right? To expect any other outcome would certainly be foolish. To live any other way than what God would want you to live would be a mockery of God. You sow from the flesh, you will reap from the flesh. You sow from the spirit, you will reap from the spirit. It's clearly stated. So we know this. You sow love, you will reap love. You sow kindness, you're going to reap kindness. You sow forgiveness, you're going to reap forgiveness. Patience, you're going to reap patience. If you sow generosity, you're going to begin to reap generosity. But the other side of life, if you sow negative words all the time, guess what? You're going to be reaping a bunch of negative words around you. If you sow a bad attitude, you're going to reap a bad attitude. If you're an individual and you're like, man, everybody around me has always got a bad attitude, let me tell you, it's probably coming from someone who is sowing that bad attitude. So that makes us step back and look at what's happening. You sow anger, you're going to reap anger. You sow deceit, you're going to reap deception. If you sow strife, if you're always in constant strife, probably because there's some seeds of strife you're throwing out there, because you're going to reap strife. Now, as Christians, we have strife, right? We have strife, we have struggles, we have issues, but I don't lose my peace in that strife. I don't lose my faith in God. I don't lose my trust. I stand upon the truth of Christ. He will bring me through that. And even though I have a lot coming at me, I'm going to stay solid in Jesus Christ. But if you're an individual that's constantly in strife, just constant, 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 constant strife, let me tell you, somebody in that is sowing some seeds of strife. And more than likely, it's coming from your pouch. It's simple. Don't make it harder than what it is, right? The seeds you choose to sow daily are your choice and your responsibility. Let me give you the next two real quick. Number two, in this principle, you reap more than you sow. Boy, that's the goodness of God here. Seeds that are sown, they reproduce themselves many times over. Back to the watermelons. You get a good watermelon seed, you take good care of it, you get a good vine coming, you're going to get anywhere from 1 to 5 watermelons on that vine. And when you get a watermelon, you bust that thing open, there's going to be lots of seeds. Even if you planted a hybrid that's a seedless watermelon, there is no such thing. Even in a seedless watermelon, you're going to see little tiny white seeds. Those are just immature watermelon seeds. So yes, you can digest them, and they're not going to get any bigger. That's the way they've been developed to grow. But if you just have a regular watermelon, you're going to have black seeds with seeds in it. Those are mature seeds. That's what the little white ones are trying to be, but they're not going to be because we messed them up. But anyway, so you plant a black seed, you're going to get watermelons. You get white seeds, and you're not going to get anything, okay? Just easier to eat, I guess. Did you get all that? Does it make sense? Is it needed? I don't know, but here we go. You plant one, and you're going to get a lot more seeds. It's going to multiply. Consider the principle of sowing generosity. Proverbs 11:25, whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and the one who waters himself will be watered. The NLT, the generous will prosper. Those who refresh others themselves are going to be refreshed. The message, the one who blesses others, there is an who abundantly blesses them, they who help others are also going to be helped. That same principle. You get over into Luke chapter number 6. And here specifically, it's talking about judging and condemning others, but it's just talking about the way you treat others in general. And it says, do not judge others and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others or it will all come back against you. It says to forgive others, you'll be forgiven. Give, you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more. It will be running over and it'll be poured back into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount that you get back. And if you give, can I tell you, in Christ, it's going to increase. It's going to multiply. What you sow in life will multiply no matter what it is that you're sowing. Number three, you reap later when you sow than when you sow. Now, sure, there can be some immediate results sometimes. But for the most part, there must be a time of maturing for that seed. There's a process. You come back to the Word of God, our passage, Paul speaking to the church. If you'll sow the things of God, the Word of God, that which has been placed into you when you first believe, you're going to reap the benefits thereof. You're going to reap a harvest if you'll continue to put your faith in Christ. So that's when he says to him in Scripture, keep doing good. Hopefully you put that in perspective there. You see that. Don't tire out. Don't give up. You may be sowing, 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 and there's nothing there yet, but what is he saying? In due time, the harvest will come. Verse 9, let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we don't give up. Never give up on doing good, church. Never give up on trusting the gospel of Jesus Christ, the faith you've placed in him, the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within you, the I am who's very much alive inside of you. Don't give up on him. Don't give up on what he's doing in your life. You may be in the season of planting right now. Can I tell you, if you'll follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, he'll help you nurture it. He'll help it grow. And when the time comes, the harvest will come in your life. You'll see it in your personal life. You'll see it in your family. You'll see it in the atmosphere of your family. You'll see it in your relationships. You'll see it in your church. You will see this principle come alive if we'll just hold true and keep doing what God is asking us to do. Amen. So I'll go back to that first question. How do we know if we're receiving what God is pointing to our life? Well, again, now that we've talked it all out, what are you sowing and what is your life reaping right now? What's happening in your life right now? Because what's happening right now is what you've already sown into it, right? Now, we can't control everything, but we know this. A big part of our life is how we choose to live daily, right? And I know God is doing a work inside of us. I thought about this. I'm thinking, okay, Lord, Michelle, you even made mention of this life before Christ. Here's the amazing grace of God. There was one time in our life we were all sowing some bad seeds, right? We were sowing some bad seeds. Now, the principle says is you're going to reap what you have sown. Sometimes we have to carry over into our Christian lives some of the results that took place because of our previous life without Christ. Battle scars, wounds, those are there probably for a reason, so we can learn from and remind us and to keep our head in the right place. But here's what I really see. The amazing grace and the forgiveness of God. And when I was studying this, I just hadn't looked at it like this before. That's just another beautiful example of God's forgiveness. Because all those seeds that you've sown that were bad and negative and unhealthy as a sinner, when Christ comes into your life, he forgives all of that process. And he says, you know what? Let's start over. Yeah, there's some things you've learned from. You got some battle scars or some things in life that you carry. But you know what? As a believer now, I'm going to give you some fresh ground. I'm going to give you some new territory. I'm going to give you some new seed. And we're going to get a new start to how this is all going to come about. So if you will stay with me and you'll stay true to me and follow me, you're going to see all the goodness that I've got wrapped up for you. Amen. That's what God wants for all of us.